So as we start this today, I just wanted to wrap our brains around sort of this bigger picture. But then practically, you know, each week we've been showing an imperfect couple and their experience with parenting and then their kids' point of view. So today we thought we'd put Pastor Kirk and Debbie on the hot seat. So I'm going to ask them to come on up. Give it up for them. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to speak about some things they've learned in their parenting journey. And we also are going to hear from their girls and from their perspective. So it's going to be a little bit of a different sermon. Not necessarily have a sermon teaching type thing. But I would say this. I have a lot of respect and love for this family. And if I were taking notes today, if I were in your shoes, I'd be getting my pen out. I would want to glean anything I could. And they'll be the first to tell you, and we're going to share about the journey and what God's been doing in them. But you might take away some things today that you weren't sure you came for, maybe. But I would encourage you to take some notes on some things they're going to talk about.
But you never say that when it's just me preaching. But Debbie gets on stage, oh, now everybody needs a note taken.
Yeah,
okay,
right? Come on.
Whatever.
This is going to be good. Hey, we're really glad Debbie's up here, too. Let's give them some more love. Come on. Debbie's usually hogging the stage. We got to get her off. But no, we're really thankful to be able to do this with them. So maybe just the first, as we just start, you guys just share, like, in your journey of parenting, kind of where you started and, like, what began to progress and change? And I'm sure you didn't just, like, you know, be rocking it out of the park right off the bat.
Maybe. Well, actually.
But no, I mean, just give us a glimpse into how the early years looked and then how it progressed.
Yeah, I would say, God, learning so much. I know for me personally, I'll let Debbie speak for herself. When we first had kids, I was after compliance. I was after obedience. Because obedience, it's an important thing, right? But I was after, I wanted them to do what I wanted them to do when I wanted them to do it. And I didn't realize till later, like maybe the girls were 8, 7, and 6, that was really kind of rooted out of my own sense of not feeling good enough, kind of a lie that I was believing. And so I was projecting that on the kids. And it came out as greater intensity, like in discipline, I was more intense than I needed to be. When I was dealing with a frustration, I was more intense than I needed to be. And when the Lord brought some freedom to me in that, kind of my lens changed to a grace lens. Like, you know, they're going to get enough of that performance-based stuff as soon as they hit school, whether it's homeschool, private school, or public school. But here's the place they're going to learn that they are loved no matter what. And that influenced how I did discipline. I mean, I still, you know, we still did discipline, trust me. Those Debbie's kids needed a lot of it. And so how I restored them in discipline, like completed the loop from we're doing good, they offend or they disobey, I discipline, and then I restore them, that became much more important to me than it had before. And I realized the importance of gentleness than I had at the very beginning.
And for me, at the very beginning, I was very concerned about screwing it up. I mean, I wanted to do this parenting thing right. I read every single book I could get my hands on when I was pregnant. I'd been raised by a single mom, and she did a fabulous job with the limitations that she had. But I was determined that we were going to have the perfect family. And not only would there not be a divorce, my husband would never even think of anything other than that I was perfect, the perfect mom. So this whole perfection thing was really, really pushing me a lot. And with that, I didn't have very much grace for myself. And so that created a lot of fear in what was going on. And so that drove a lot in the earlier days. And I remember it was the bike rodeo, and Ellie was, I think, in the second grade. And I had not yet gotten a bell for her little bicycle. And I had like 30 minutes before the bike rodeo started, and I'm driving all over town, and they're all out of bells because everyone at Hardy Oak and Canyon Ridge and every school was having the bike rodeo. Anyway, the point being, I remember being in the car, and the Lord said, your perfection is not what your parenting is about. And she's going to be okay without a bell on her bicycle. And you're going to do this mothering thing because I'm going to walk you through it. And that was really a turning point for me. I mean, I was just in the car driving on Northwest Military Highway. And that was a really significant time when I realized that the Lord had grace for me. And it wasn't just going to be about what I did, that he had a much bigger role in the process.
That's really good. You know, I think what I heard you guys say there is challenging because we say about parenting with grace, but then, you know, we're like, well, I don't want to let my kids just get away with anything. But what I heard you guys both say there was what changed in you, which led to that. You know, like it started with you guys and then flowed out. But no, I just think, because I think, you know, somebody said one time, you know, if you don't deal with your baggage, your kids will. And so we all have those things that change the lens through with which we parent. And so we're all imperfect in that, but also in the journey on it. Well, let's do this. We're gonna listen to some of the girls and then talk some more. So let's watch this first video. This is Ellie, their oldest.
Hi, I'm Ellie. I'm 23. And these are the top three things I'm thankful that my parents did for me when I was growing up. So number one, I'm so thankful that they taught me to wait on God, not just to pray and put my requests before God, but also to have a two-way conversation, listen, and wait for what God would say back. That has deepened my relationship with God and really produced an ability for me to relate to him and make my faith my own, not just my parents, not just my friends, but my own faith. Number two, my parents taught me how to make good decisions regarding media. So our rule was always Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is noble and pure, think about these things. And I've continued with that pattern in my decision making when I choose what to watch or what to listen to going through life. The last thing, I'm so thankful my parents made me go to youth group. There were days I didn't love it and I had real reasons, but I'm so thankful that the decision to commit produced deep friendships, growth in my relationship with God, and again, that ability to make my faith my own as I went through life.
Awesome. So I was just reminded of that, and I said it earlier about John 1, about Jesus came in grace and truth, and so it makes sense that we would parent in grace and truth. So as we talk about some things and you hear the videos, just they're probably going to be expressions of what they received and are now living out in terms of grace and truth. But maybe Kirk, what, just speak to that, what Ellie just said. I don't know if there's something stirring about your heart, what she said.
You know, as we watched these videos, I thought, wow, we really have to make sure, you know, when your kids get 1 minute and we ask them, tell us what we did good, what you took away that was good. We intentionally did not ask them, that opposite question.
We don't have that much time.
And their phones ran out of storage. But we realized, you know, it's so much the generosity of Jesus and so much just continuing to go after him. It's not about perfection. It's not about doing everything right. And what we're talking about today, I realize now is, I mean, we've only got like 35 minutes or so. We're really talking about how you help develop the spirit of your child and how you guard their heart. We're not really talking about, I mean, there's a million other practicals, right, that we could be talking about, but we're mainly talking about how you disciple your kids. And, you know, the thing that Ellie said that I think would be most important to me was when she said she was glad that we taught her how to hear the Lord. Essentially, what Jesus wants with our children is a relationship, and every relationship is based on communication. And so early, not as early as I wish, because I didn't come into it till later, an awareness of it, but early on, we wanted them to, we would say, well, why don't we ask the Lord that? Why don't we ask Jesus what he thinks? Let's look at his word and then talk about, and then actually wait and say, Jesus, is there anything you want me to know? And as I know, as I would do that with the girls, sometimes, because I validated, I was like, you can hear the Lord. Like John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, which means he speaks and you can hear. And we wanted to encourage our kids, you can hear Jesus. And sometimes He may give you a picture. He did that all through Scripture. Sometimes he may give you a phrase or a special word or a, I don't know. But we would encourage them to ask Jesus what he thinks and then to either write down or just sit and think about that. And then they'd share it with us. And sometimes they would hear something that we needed to say, yeah, it is sort of like that, honey, but he's also this. And we just sort of helped shape their understanding of Jesus, but we really, really, really wanted them to know that he wanted to relate to them personally. How can you have a relationship with someone with whom you don't communicate? So we were, and what helped us in that was that it took weight off of me. I don't know if Debbie felt this way, but it felt like a load went off of me. I was like, Jesus, this is your deal with Ellie. So would you speak to her? And I'm just going to kind of stand back here and encourage. And I found he did way more and I felt way less pressure. That helped a bunch.
And so one of the questions that, you know, I would be asking if I were a young mom would be, so how do I know? I mean, I'm going to trust God, but, you know, how do I know my kids are hearing God's voice? And it was so important that we created an environment in our home that was fertile soil where that truth could grow and be deposited. And so that sort of is what Ellie was remembering about Philippians 4:8, is that we really wanted our home to be a place that was, of course, loving and secure and peaceful, but I wanted them to be surrounded by the truth. And so the music that we listened to were scripture songs that were awesome. They're still available through Right Now Media, Seeds of Purpose. And we're
Seeds
just,
of Praise.
Seeds of Praise. And yeah, we're just huge fans of that. They also would participate and be a part of the scripture memory that would come through Kids Zone. Even back when we were at Hardy Oak, we would memorize verses and create this little Christmas ornament. So scripture was being put all around them. And videos that we watched and movies. There was great stuff even back in the 90s for kids to watch. VeggieTales was just in its heyday and they were fans of that. But it wasn't just about, no, we don't do this, no, we don't do that. It was really about, here's what's wonderful, here's what's good. We spent a lot of times outdoors enjoying God's creation. And all of that, you know, is something that is timeless and is really a part of how we were kind of developing that that soil, that environment intentionally for them.
Yeah, and it's just an ongoing, everyday kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just happen in one weekend. You don't put your mind to it for 30 days. It's just, you just keep doing it. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, and I think one thing that it's really important what they said, parents, is that, you know, you're creating the culture in your home. Like, it's not like necessarily, like Debbie's like, what you say, and it's just what you're actually, what you're doing. Like, what the norms and the rhythms and all the things that are becoming their norm, right? And you and I know they're way not the norm, according to the world. So how you do that's important. So maybe, Debbie, can you share, like, I know I heard Ellie say about the media thing and protecting her heart. Was there anything specific, you know, you did from a mom's perspective there?
I think that we were very intentional about books, you know, that we read when they were growing up at bedtime. And I don't mean that we had a list of the good books and the bad books. I just mean that I really paid attention. That's where some of the practical, I guess, education part came into our home and can come into anyone's home. Guarding their heart in the early days is really about them knowing that they're secure and they're loved, and that's a universal need of children. It's not just a discipling your Christian children thing. I remember that though we wanted to stay as current as we could with what was going on in the world, we didn't see the, World News Tonight as something to have on when the kids were little. In fact, when 9/11 happened, Ellie was in the first grade, and the next day at school, they were processing it as a class, and so children were just raising their hands, saying things that happened, you know, that they knew, and Ellie had not seen any of the news, and we hadn't talked about it in front of her, but she raised her hand and said, the policeman came. And we were talking with her teacher later and just laughing because She knew enough to know that if all those things were happening that people were saying, that the policeman showed up. And, you know, in my mind, it's a really simple thing, but that's what you really want your six-year-old to know, is that when bad things happen, the policemen show up. You don't really want them to know about terrorists and airplanes flying into buildings. So that's, and you know, people can have different opinions about that. But I'm just saying our effort was that they would know love and security and safety, and then we would get to process with them the threats to that, the challenges to that. And we did all that in a very, you know, up and down kind of way over the years. But just to wrap that story, it's kind of interesting that Ellie is now interested in national security and got a degree in government and, you know, that kind of stuff. So it didn't thwart her potential.
Now when bad things happen, Ellie shows up.
That's good. Okay, so Ellie spoke to waiting on the Lord, listening, guarding her heart with regards to media, and then community. So just again, be hearing the threads of the things that they remember. You know, I know as parents are like, gosh, I wonder what my kids are going to remember. And oh, please let it be the good stuff, you know. This is the generosity Kirk was talking about. If you set your heart on following Jesus in grace and truth, he just massages that grace in day and day and day, the truth in and day out. So it's not necessarily just one thing. It's just this, you know, cumulative investment that's worth the investment. Okay, let's listen to this. This is Sarah Grace, their middle daughter.
One thing my parents did that I'm super thankful for was teaching me the value of spending time with God each day and really teaching me how to read the Word and learn from it. And I remember we had this chore chart with different daily things that we needed to do, like making our bed, cleaning our room, unloading the dishwasher, and spending time with God was another thing on there. And really just instilled in us kind of the understanding that, oh, this is something that I should do every day and something that, you know, I need to do every day. And at the same time, we would have morning Bible times at the breakfast table, and we would just read the Word together, and my dad would ask us simple questions and we'd talk about it, and really just modeled for us how to read the Bible and learn from it, and how to spend time with God, so that then when we went to do it on our own, we really knew how. And even if it started as a discipline and something that I kind of had to make myself do, I've just continued as I've done it to see the value. And as I've seen the value, I've just wanted to do it more and more. So it started as a discipline that was modeled for me and then kind of held accountable on our little chore chart, I've just come to see has been the biggest blessing of my life. And I've just been so thankful for that foundation that I have of spending time with God.
Okay, so that one sounds like, though, I mean, if somebody's like, wow, you like made them. I mean, I sound like sort of like a make to, like a have to type deal. So we're talking about grace, but truth. So maybe speak to that, Kirk.
You're the one with the chore chart.
Tell us that.
Well, I'll be completely honest and say that was a little bit of an issue because we didn't want to be, you know, cramming Jesus down their throat or force feeding time with God or Bible reading, anything like that. So that's not really the point, but it is interesting, right, that years later she actually remembers that and sees it as a part of how she developed a pattern in her life and it became something that she wanted to do. And, I mean, really brushing your teeth is like that as a little kid. I mean, a lot of people don't like sticking things in their mouth, but we do it because we know it's good for them, and then ultimately you don't want to go anywhere in the morning without having brushed your teeth, right? So that's kind of gross, and I didn't plan to say that. But it's true, you know, it's true. And but what I want you to know is that the spirit of that being on their chore chart was not one of condemnation or legalism. There were no punishments. And in fact, if the truth be told, they had maybe 7 different opportunities of chores to do, piano practice, making their bed, take, you know the stuff. And that was one of them. And they did not get, you know, like tit for tat rewards. We actually just saw, you know, are you making progress? We looked to see, are you taking responsibility? You know, are you looking to try to, you know, spend time with God, look at your Bible a little bit each morning? And so in that way, there was grace because we were always celebrating, you know, forward movement and effort, not perfection. And we even had, we had a little way we did it. And it, like I said, it was just not, there was just not condemnation or perfection looked for. So.
So you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I did.
And also, there were some weeks that
Hold on, Kirk.
There were some weeks, many weeks, especially as I got older, that mom did not remember to put their allowance in their little jar where it was supposed to go. And so, you know, what happened to me? Nothing. It all worked out.
Sorry. I think a lot of us would benefit from a chore chart. That's what I was going to say. You know, because it's amazing how I'm this way too, right? I get up and I think email is the most important thing for me to check, or the news is the most important thing for me to check because I'm going to be relating to people and be whatever. Okay. And I need to be reminded, no. What my soul needs is to encounter Jesus. And why don't you speak a little bit to that, Devin?
We'll be talking about marriage stuff later.
Can you put the Ephesian verse up, Ephesians 1?
There we go.
Okay, because that's what you're saying. You know, what you need is for your soul to be restored. And my prayer for my girls was that they would be rooted and established in love, that they would have the power with the Lord's holy people, and that's that community part that each of them is walking in right now, to just grasp how much Jesus loves them. You know, that's what we were looking for.
Yeah.
That's what we were trying to accomplish. Not a perfect chore chart, not perfect children. You know, that's what we were after. And everything that we were doing and everything that you're all doing, if you've got children at home, that's what you want. That's what you're looking to build into their lives. Just that soil, that home. You know, it was said long, long ago, back in the days of Rome, that the home was the foundation, the center of society. And it's still true today. It's not our economy. It's not our politics. It's not even education. It's still the home, because that's where the heart is formed. And that's what we all want to be focused about. That was our purpose in what we were trying to do.
Can I say something?
No.
Okay.
We should be sharing a microphone.
Well, I really do respect Debbie and her insight, and she's a great mom. And I think with regard to scripture, you know, like Ellie was talking about that, I really, you know, Hebrews 4, is that it? Says that that the Word of God is alive and active. We really believe that if we kept putting the Word of God out there, that it would not return empty. It would do something that God wanted it to do. And so we didn't use scripture to correct them or in discipline, because, you know, when you get disciplined, you're always defensive. So we didn't want to, like, put the Bible on our side, like, well, Ephesians 4 says, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You know, we didn't want to do that. And so what we wanted to do, though, was when we restored them, you know, in discipline, let's say, we would say, hey, you know, 1 John 3 says God lavishes, pours out like a big bucket of love on you, and so do I. I want you to know that. We would use scripture to reaffirm their identity, like we've been talking about, and their sense of belonging and their sense of purpose. We wouldn't use it to jab them, poke them, or bring any kind of shame. So.
Yeah, I think what we know as parents, because we've experienced that ourselves, is when they do choose to spend time with Jesus in that way, and that's what Sarah Grace was saying, they are receiving the love of Jesus for themselves. And that's what we want. And certainly rules without relationship leads to rebellion, that old age-old principle. So it's not just about the rule, it's about the relationship. Okay, this is Mary Callen, their youngest. Let's watch this.
Hi, I'm Mary Callen Freeman, and my parents are Kirk and Debbie Freeman. A couple things come to mind when I think about parenting and how my parents raised me. The first thing I'm most thankful for is that my parents taught me how to hear the voice of God at a really young age. They were encouraging me to be still and listen to the Holy Spirit. I think that's invaluable. A really practical thing is that I played club volleyball. And so they always made sure that I left my Wednesday night practices a few minutes early so I could make it to Ablaze, our youth group, on time. And that instilled the value of community in me. And so when I went to college, it was, of course, such a big priority for me to make college service or to make life group or to make morning prayer scheduled parts of my life that I wasn't going to put extracurriculars or even school ahead of, which I think is just invaluable. And then the third thing is that they always were quick to forgive me and to ask for forgiveness. I remember several times in my life, I can look back and remember when my parents would apologize for a way they'd acted or something they'd said, and I just felt very loved by that because it was a humbling thing to do as a parent. And then also, whenever they disciplined me, they made sure I knew it was from a place of love, not anger or disappointment. And they did this by asking me to look in their eyes and see the love in their eyes. And then they always made sure, last thing, that my identity was not attached to my performance. And so they did this practically by sending me encouraging texts throughout the day. And then at home, making sure that if I had a disappointment or a failure, that they reinforced that what God said about me wasn't attached to the way that I lived my life. He still loved me and chose me even when I made mistakes. He forgave me.
Wow. I heard humility and grace and truth all through that whole thing. that was sweet.
I'm not sure I'm her dad. That's that. I don't know who she's talking about. Gee whiz. Yeah.
So, Debbie, speak to what Mary Callen shared.
Well, I'm going to jump in on she mentioned club volleyball and just the whole idea of first things first. And that was definitely one of the more challenging seasons, not her volleyball, but just the whole issue of sports, extracurriculars, the demands that are placed on students, and more in the high school years, I guess. But it starts in middle school and even younger, depending on how you, how you're spending your time. But really, I guess what I want to say about it is that we were able to do extra driving when it was required. Yeah, I remember one weekend where I went to Austin to get her to a tournament. I mean, I picked her up at a youth retreat, and then I took her to Austin to play a game, and then I took her back to the retreat, because balancing the team commitment and the Ablaze youth group commitment and the desire of her heart, she wanted to be in both places. So sometimes it requires a little extra, and we did that, and it seemed crazy at times. But it seemed crazy for the right reasons. And we do lots of things as parents with sports that seem crazy at times, and they're not always for the best reasons. So I just want to encourage you in that when you get there, that you actually can make choices. You can make choices together, and sometimes you can make choices for them that are hard. But later, at least in our experience, they didn't regret it. But I want you to know it wasn't easy. I mean, yeah. I remember conversations, and I'll just share this, that, you know, we were disagreeing about how to walk that out with our soccer player at one part of her life. And I wrote a very long letter, explaining, my thinking in my heart about this and whatever. And we always really valued coming to a place of unity in our parenting, in our marriage. And when I say that, I just want all of you to know that doesn't mean that we always agreed about everything, or that we always just did what Kirk wanted, or that we always just did what I wanted. We really worked to get to a place where we could both stand by it and move forward with it. And but it was very hard. Do you want to say anything about that?
I'm not sure this is a safe place.
Yeah, I'm going off topic. I'm going off topic. But one more thing with sports. One more thing with sports, and this too is just part of the soil and the environment, is that I really, we're both very competitive, and so we were not parents who could just say, church is more important, you can't go play with your team, that's it.
Yeah, we'd seen Footloose. We knew we couldn't do that. Come on. There's the pastor dude in there. Ask Kevin Bacon. Cannot play that pastor card. He bites you.
So I guess just my caution is just like, in the midst of whatever it is that they're doing, going to that performance, not being performance-based like one of them talked about, is just that was a place of connection. You know, I spent a lot of time with them going to and from practices, going to and from games, And it was just really important that that was not the only place that we connected, if that makes sense. I just was able to affirm, not just talk about the game, although we did talk about the game, but just an opportunity. It's an opportunity to affirm their character, to challenge and encourage their leadership, to pray for other kids on the team, to be aware of what's going on in those families, to make it a ministry outreach. I mean, you're with people. This is your kids' oikos, as we talk about, and so they began to learn what that looked like, and we just wanted to make it an opportunity still for extending the love and the peace that they had to share, and I just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah, and I'd say Debbie was good at squeezing as much out of the time in the car as she could get. It's so easy, you know, to make driving this time of solitude that you have. So you do the DVD or the iPod or the the iTouch or the iPhone or whatever. And Debbie was really good at having boundaries at that so that she could engage the kids or I could engage the kids in a different way. I thought that was important. The thing that Mary Callen said that really, I'd say, dads, this is the secret, okay? So thanks for getting all your pencils out. I see y'all getting them out. this is the bomb, I think, for me. You will not do things perfectly, right? But learning to apologize to your kids and ask forgiveness, I'm like, oh my gosh, it works so well. It covers so many things, you know? Like, number one thing I want to teach my kids, I told you, is grace. I want them to know they are loved, 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 no matter what, because in the world, they're going to get a bunch of performance-based acceptance in their school teams and jobs. I want to teach them love and grace. Well, when I apologize to them, I give them a chance to practice showing grace, and they need that, you know? And I, for so many years, felt like Debbie was saying too, can't do anything wrong, don't want to do anything wrong, I have to be right. I'm the dad, I'm supposed to be Superman, so I'm always supposed to be right. And you know how you get sometimes when, like, you know you're wrong, it doesn't matter, you're going to fight even harder, you know? It's stupid. But then I learned, man, my kids knew when I messed up. Anyway, you know, it wasn't like it was a secret. They could tell early on. And so when I learned that apologizing doesn't diminish my position, in fact, it establishes my position. They wanted to follow me. They trusted my leadership more. In fact, I got on words of affirmation, you know, in the five love languages. And so for Father's Day or for our anniversary, our 25th, the girls had written us letters, or different times they have. And this year, for Father's Day and anniversary, the one thing that all three girls wrote that was a little discouraging but really affirming was, Daddy, you're really good at saying I'm sorry. And I would like to have thought that they would have written, you're just always right and wise. But no, they were like, no, you're really good at saying I'm sorry. And I was like, hey, if I can't have the first, I'll take the second, right? And that, you know, Brian said, if we don't deal with our baggage, then our kids will. And apologies and literally saying, honey, daddy was wrong. I spoke too harshly to you. And that's not who I want to be. Would you forgive me? And they have to decide. And sometimes they weren't ready right then because they were still mad at me. Or something, but that unpacked bags that took bags off of them that they don't have to carry. We dealt with that, and I'm just telling you, men, maybe women, you got to deal with it too. But guys, this is the deal: apologize and ask for forgiveness. Humble yourself before your kids when you know you screw up, and it'll. That's the same thing they all three remember about me. Because I practiced it a bunch. Have to.
You're doing really good. That was awesome. Words of affirmation.
Thank you. And physical touch.
And physical touch. Yeah. Here's a gift for you did so well. Any last thoughts as we close?
I would say, of course, I think our girls are beautiful, and the orthodontist did a great job, and and you know, we only asked for a minute and told them to share the good thing about us. I would just say that it was really hard, you know, and it was our greatest conflicts between one another had to do with how we were, you know, we knew what we wanted to see in our kids, but how we were going to get there, we were not. It was a negotiation. It was a conflict at times, so it wasn't easy, and it would be tempting. I think the enemy would want you to think that, Kirk and Debbie do it all perfectly or something, and it wasn't that at all, but it's a persistence thing. It's a keeping after it thing. You got 18 years at least with them, and it was just a continuing to go after it. And when we get off track, we'd apologize and come back with Jesus or with them. And I found that in that, he was really, really generous. You don't have to walk this super straight path and never vary. You're not going to do that. You just got to know how to come back when you vary. And that seems to be the big deal, I would say, for me.
Is the James verse slide there? Is there a James slide? No. Okay. Well,
boom. I see it.
You speak, Anne.
There it is. Thank you. So I think for me that, I guess the last thing I just throw in the pot of this morning is that this verse was pretty much a guiding verse for me. And it relates to what Kirk's talking about, because the forgiveness is such a big part of being a peacemaker. And I think that when I talk about peace, you know, I'm not always sweet and kind, and I mean, I'm just not. And I love Mary Callen, you know, all that she shared and the way she talked about it. It just, I don't know, you listen to those, it just all sounds just peachy and wonderful. And so I just want you to know that, you know, I yelled at my children and I grabbed people in the back seat and I said, stop. And, you know, I had teenagers that were girls that were sassy, and I was a teenage girl, so I can still be sassy too, you know.
I knew her, and she was.
Those things went on in our home, you know. I just really want you to know that you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got yourself as a parent, and you've got your child. And the Holy Spirit trumps everything, right? God's sovereign over it all. But I have a will, and my child has a will. And the three of us, you know, are in this dance over the course of parenting. And my desire is that for you is that, you know, you're connected with the Holy Spirit. You're walking right by Jesus' side, like Kirk talked about at the beginning. And so that gives you the best opportunity, you know, as a parent, creating that environment for your child, seeking forgiveness when you need it, giving them wise counsel and instruction. And then they, as an individual with their own will, are going to make choices. They're going to make their own decision. And my hope and my prayer for every child that's growing up here is that their choice and their decision is to love Jesus with all their heart, because they know how loved they are, and they have nothing other to do but respond that way. And then they walk out a life of trying to do what Jesus does and loving others. And, you know, that's the ideal. I think what we want you to know today is the ideal does not rest on you. It didn't rest on us. They may look like the ideal today in that video that, by the way, they don't even know was used like this morning. So they'll be okay with it, because they did know what they were doing when they made the video. But we decided yesterday to use those in this. But the point just being, back to what I'm saying, is that it really is just a dance. It's a journey, the Holy Spirit and yourself and your child. And so don't give up on anybody in the mix. You know, have grace. Well, you don't have to have grace for the Holy Spirit, but believe that God's going to keep pursuing. You know, he's going to continue to come through. And just let your faith grow and your trust grow. My prayer is that you would reap that harvest of righteousness and just keep sowing in that peace in your homes, in your families, in your relationships.
Awesome. Let's give it up for Kirk and Debbie. Let's do this. Let's close. But I want you to just, what Debbie said there at the end, wow. I think Father God wants you to know and be confident that he's called you to this and he's going to empower you through the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God and he's given us the people of God, right? That's what we need. The Word, the Spirit, the people, that's what we're about. That's what this family is going after. And you're not by yourself, and you can do this. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you show us who you are. You're a perfect, loving Father who always wants the best for his kids, who always wants their children to know the safety and security of being in your family. You always want to affirm who we are. You always want to encourage our hearts. You always want to speak tender words of affirmation of your love and how you made us. Lord, would we parent out of the truth of that? Would your Spirit empower us to do that? And God, would the grace of Jesus be upon our minds and our hearts and our lips to be people that are quick to forgive and ask for forgiveness. God, I pray for every person in this room, Lord. Would you give us that heart to parent like you do? And we ask for the filling of your Spirit, God, to show us the truth of how to do that in your ways. And then, God, we pray for the wills of our children, that we would make it normal to listen to you, to follow you, to choose to trust you. And we would show and reveal the love of God like you did, Jesus. Thank you for your love. In your name, amen.